This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Michael Moore's new movie, Fahrenheit 9-1-1, won the top prize at the Cannes Film Festival over the weekend. The movie takes a critical look at America under George W. Bush, from the contested election results in Florida to the war in Iraq. The movie made headlines a few weeks ago after executives at Disney said they would block its release. Disney's the parent company of Miramax, which owns the rights to the film. Moore's supporters call the move censorship. His detractors call it a publicity stunt. The audience at Cannes simply applauded. Joining us now to talk about the movie and its reception at Cannes is A.O. Scott, the chief film critic for The New York Times. Always good to talk with you.
Nice to be here, Neil. Thanks.
What was the buzz surrounding this film before the award was announced?
It screened a week ago, last Monday, and that was a rather extraordinary event because the ovation was loud and sustained. Thierry Frémaux, who's the artistic director at Cannes, who was there, said it was the longest ovation he had ever heard in all his years at the festival, and some people timed it at 20 or 25 minutes.
So wow.
It was a really sort of extraordinary outburst of acclaim for the audience there, you know, people standing in their tuxedos and evening gowns, clapping in rhythm and shouting, and Michael Moore, I have to say, looks quite overwhelmed and humbled at the whole at that reception.
Well, was the reception, do you think, because of the film's politics or because of its artistic value or both?
Well, I think probably both. I mean, certainly, you know, it's no secret that the French view of the war in Iraq is critical, and there's been, you know, a lot of disaffection in France with American policies, although I have to say that, you know, not everyone in that audience by any means was French, nor were all the members on the jury that later gave it the prize. I think that it was certainly, you know, a response to the film's message, which was one that found a sympathetic ear there. But I think also it was a response to the power of the filmmaking. Mm. I mean, I think that, you know, an audience at Cannes takes the art of cinema very seriously, and the work of directors, you know, looks at it very critically. And I think it was a combination, perhaps, of the message and the form in which it was delivered, and sort of the power and emotion of that film.
Mm-hmm. What are its strengths, do you think?
Well, I think one of its strengths is that this time around, Michael Moore has really sort of kept himself out of the film in a way. I mean, he does the voiceover narration, but in the past, some of us critics and others who have been critical and maybe less than 100% admiring of his movies have been bothered by the way he can sometimes get in the way of the subject that he's trying to talk about. I felt that Bowling for Columbine became too much about him and kind of lost sight of some of the very interesting material and interesting ideas that it was exploring. And also, he tends in sometimes to overdo his arguments, to be perhaps a little sloppy with chronology and facts. And in this case, it just seemed like he had really discovered a kind of discipline as a filmmaker to tell the story tightly, to make his argument. And obviously this is a movie with a point of view, and this is a polemical movie, but it felt like the argument was a lot tighter and more carefully constructed, and that this film was not about him. It was about George Bush, and it was about the war in Iraq, and about what Michael Moore feels has happened to the United States and to the lives of ordinary Americans, and for that matter, ordinary Iraqis, in the past couple of years.
Obviously, the Palme d'Or is going to help its distribution when it is distributed in Europe. What about the chances of getting it out here in the United States?
Well, nobody in the Michael Moore camp or in Miramax seems particularly worried about that. There are French people who are very, you know, concerned that it would be suppressed. There was one man at the press conference after the film who suggested, you know, taking donations to get it distributed, which Michael Moore said was, you know, wouldn't be necessary. I mean, basically where things stand now, as far as I know, and I'm not by any means on the inside of any of this, but is, you know, Miramax is working out a deal with Disney whereby Disney will sell the movie back to Bob and Harvey Weinstein, the brothers who run Miramax, and they will arrange for its distribution, but not as a Miramax film. That's Disney won't allow them to distribute it as a Miramax film. So they will, in turn, I think, you know, resell the distribution rights or enter into a kind of partnership with other distributors. I would say there's no shortage of interest. For one thing, this movie, which cost $6 million to make, which is a lot for a documentary, will certainly be the most profitable documentary ever released in the United States. I mean, you know, Bowling for Columbine did enormously well, but this movie's box office chances and then, you know, home video chances are quite good. So, I mean, there are a lot of interested players, and I would be very, very surprised if this movie didn't come out, you know, sometime in the summer. I think they're aiming for July, for around July 4th, and then for home video distribution before the election, sometime in October. And I think it's quite likely that they'll succeed in working something out.
Tony Scott, thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.
A.O. Scott, chief film critic for The New York Times. He joined us by phone from the paper's offices in New York City.